Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 2, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. Blessed is he who loves God's precepts, who from sin restrains his feet. He who will not stand with sinners, he who shuns the scorner's seat. 1, 2, and 5 of Psalter number 2. Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the prophecy of Jeremiah in the 15th chapter. Jeremiah chapter 15. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them, thus saith the Lord, such as are for death to death, and such as are for the sword to the sword, and such as are for the famine to the famine, and such as are for the captivity to the captivity. And I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord, the sword to slay, and the dogs to tear, and the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. And I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth, because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem. For who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? Or who shall bemoan thee? Or who shall go aside to ask how thou doest? Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord, and thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. And I will fan them with a fan in the gates of the land. I will bereave them of children. I will destroy my people, since they return not from their ways. Their widows are increased to me above the sand of the sea. I have brought upon them against the mother of my people, against the mother of the young men, a spoiler at noonday. I have caused him to fall upon it suddenly, and terrors upon the city. She that hath borne seven languisheth. She hath gone up, given up the ghost. Her son is gone down while it was yet day. And she hath been ashamed and confounded, and the residue of them will I deliver to the sword before their enemies, saith the Lord. Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them doth curse me. The Lord said, verily it shall be well with thy remnant. Verily I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. Shall iron break the northern iron and the steel? Thy substance and thy treasures will I give to the spoil without price, and that for all thy sins, even in all thy borders. And I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, which shall burn upon you. O Lord, thou knowest. Remember me and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual, and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, and as waters that fail? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of the heavens and of the earth, we are together in this evening of this work day. Thou knowest our purpose as we have come to gather round about thy holy word, an everlasting testimony. And when we do commemorate in this day thy work in the midst of thy church, in its preservation from all the evils that a prince of darkness has brought against thy church and against thy people, that it was from the very beginning that he has sought to destroy thy people. But thou hast bruised his head and taken away his power. And though he still does bruise the heel, and though he still does attack thy church, and though those attacks will increase in intensity in the last days, when, if it were possible, he would come as an angel of light to deceive even thy very people, Lord, thou art still over everything, and thou didst deliver thy church out of that bondage of superstition and error in the days of our forefathers. Thou hast shown thyself faithful in the midst of all the unfaithfulness and unwatchfulness of thy people. And thou didst deliver when man was not able to deliver. And thou didst show that thou art God and that thou art watching over thy people. Lord, could it please thee to remember us also in the days in which we do live with our children, when Satan is no less busy to bring error in ways of great subtlety in the midst of the congregations, and to come also against that way of life, that walk that is according to thy statutes and thy commandments, which is pleasing in thy holy sight. O Lord, could it please thee then to appear unto us and unto our children with thy restraining hand, to keep us from going the way of our flesh and the way of all the desires of our natural hearts, to follow the ways of this world that shall perish in its misery, and to follow the errors that do present themselves to our wicked and deceitful hearts. Lord, thy way that is in the sea, and thy footsteps are not known, but thy church will sing of the ways of the Lord. Thou wouldst lead even in these days in those ways. that are such a mystery unto us, that we cannot fathom, and that bring so many questions and riddles in our hearts. But Lord, oh, give that we may look only upon Thee, that we may be given to follow even as a little child, and that Thou would take us by the hand, and that Thou would give the exercise of that true saving faith in the midst of Thy dear church. Lord, bring to the instruction, and that our fathers also have seen as so necessary, when they did bring Thy word in all its truth, with all its sharp edges for our flesh. Grant us also that wisdom as Thy servant, and when we are called to go before this Thy flock, even in these days, wherein Thou dost call us to this labor, Lord, may Thou also then provide in this evening hour to give Thy Spirit in rich measure, that we may know how to take forth the precious from the vile. And may Thou give also ears to hear, which we have not by nature, and grant us understanding hearts, that Thy truth may penetrate, and that Thy name may be glorified within and also by us, in the midst of our congregation, in the midst of this world. Wilt Thou look upon all that are afflicted, especially the family that is in mourning in these days, and that must stand at an open grave on the day of tomorrow. May Thou give strength unto the widow, and to all the children and grandchildren and all relation. And may Thou instruct in all Thy ways, wherein Thou dost lead them also. Be with all that are afflicted. Be with her that is in the hospital. Lord, she is young, and yet she is so weak. Thou givest a little strength again. Wilt Thou bring her home also at Thy appointed time, and strengthen the parents also in these difficult ways. Also the young child who must go to that same hospital in the day of tomorrow. Wilt Thou make it well, and be with her that must receive surgery yet in the end of this week. Lord, take away all her fears. May Thou stand on the right and on the left hand in mercy. And oh, do draw unto Thyself when we cannot. And wilt Thou look upon us as a congregation. Lord, wilt Thou be with us in this evening. Oh, send Thy Holy Spirit, that He may be feelingly and believingly in the midst of us, and that He may serve us who are so undeserving. Our lives testify against us, and our sin that prevails from day to day. And Thou art so right and just to leave us to ourselves as a congregation and as a minister. But Lord, could it please Thee to take now reasons out of Thyself, to look upon us in Thy mercy, and to visit us with a blessing out of Thy heavenly store. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 68, stanzas 1 through 4. Grace and truth shall mark the way, and where the Lord His own will lead, if His word they still obey, and His testimonies heed. 1 through 4 of Psalter number 68, and we make one announcement. There was a little mistake in the bulletin, which said that the topic that was to be continued is scheduled for this Friday evening, when actually it is scheduled for Tuesday evening, that is November 6th. Psalter 68, all stanzas. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set his sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. So it shall happen, congregation, on that last day, on that day of judgment, then the Lord says there shall be a division. There shall be a separation between, he says, the righteous and the wicked. Will be a great surprise to many people. The Bible is clear about this. Those of God's true church, with so many fears, and that even yet in that day, have not that assurance that is necessary, that comfort in death and in judgment, so that still they expect to be eternally cast away, and yet they shall be received of God and others. A great surprise. Walking in great comfort their whole life long, putting away their fears from them, and shall call to the mountains on that day and to the hills to cover them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. Shall be a great surprise to many. Is it necessary that it is a surprise? Islam says yes. Islam says we cannot know in this life for sure that it's necessary to wait until that day. And then it will be revealed to us. But that is not according to the word of God. Peter says, give diligence to make thy calling and election sure. For if thou doest these things, thou shalt never fall. Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. We read also of Paul, he says, who shall separate us from that love of Christ. Thus it is possible to know before that great and notable day. And on the other hand, then the Bible is very clear about what it means to be unconverted. The Bible is very clear when it says that the unrighteous shall not inherit that kingdom of God. Thus there is no reason why that it should take us by surprise upon that last day. It need not be, if we will only search the Scriptures, and if we will only lay our own heart next to what the Scriptures say in an honest way. And that it is also the duty and the calling of God's servants to lay this out in the midst of the congregations, that everyone may know clearly his place. And we wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider something of this in this evening, out of the words of Jeremiah 15, there of verse 19, the middle phrase, verse 19, the second part, and if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. So far, our text. Taking forth the precious from the vial. First, in the days of Jeremiah. Second, in the days of the Reformation. Third, in our days. Taking forth the precious from the vial. First, in the days of Jeremiah. Second, in the days of the Reformation. And third, in our days. We read, congregation, in the very first chapter of Jeremiah about the calling of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, we read, was sanctified, he says, from the womb, that the Lord would raise him up to be a prophet to the nations. And then he was called when he was yet young, and he says of himself, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord would put to rest all of the objections of his servant. And when he looked upon himself and the impossibility of that work, and then the Lord said to Jeremiah that he should not say, I am a child. For thou shalt go unto all those that I will send thee to, and whatsoever I command to thee, that shalt thou speak. That was a way that was going to be very difficult for Jeremiah. The Lord also warned Jeremiah about this, that the Lord says, they are going to fight against thee. And yet he promised Jeremiah that they would not prevail against him. Because the Lord says, I am going to be with you, and I am going to deliver you. Jeremiah certainly has experienced the truth of what the Lord has said unto him, that very people to whom he was sent, that very people whom his heart has gone out for and to, for their safety, for their well-being, that very people have risen up in hatred against him and against his message from the Lord. They have cast him into the pit. They have cast him into the dungeon. And they have cast him into prison. And in the midst of all this, then we can read how that Jeremiah complains to the Lord. Why, he says, is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail? What does Jeremiah say? Jeremiah says, Lord, what hast thou promised me? What hast thou said unto me? And thou hast said that thou would be with me. Thou hast said that thou wouldst be on my right, on my left for my protection, and yet I am continually in danger even of my life from these people.
Why is it that it seems like thy word, that thy promises, that they seem altogether just to be as if that thou hast even lied unto me? Just like waters that fail, there is an expectation to quench the thirst and that brook that is so completely dried up. And when Jeremiah complains unto the Lord, then what does the Lord say to him? Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. Thus he says, if thou return, from thy way of impatience, Jeremiah, and if thou return from this way of murmuring that thou hast against the way that I lead you as my servant, if thou return from drawing away from that office and from that work that I have laid upon your shoulders, then Jeremiah, I will strengthen you. I will uphold you in that way that I have commanded you to go. And if thou take forth the precious from the vile, and thou shalt be as my mouth. Thus what must Jeremiah do? He must take forth the precious from the vile. What does that mean? The Lord says, Jeremiah, you must make a distinction. You must make a distinction between truth and error. You must make a distinction between the godly and the ungodly. Between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. That was not a thing that was very easy for Jeremiah. And why not? Because of the multitude of false prophets that we read of. The false prophets, the false teachers, which also made their way among the people of the Lord. Think only of Hananiah. Then he has broken that yoke. And he has also spoken unto the people. And who did the people believe? They did not believe Jeremiah, no. And they believed Hananiah. And thus it was the false prophet that the people did follow. And yet the Lord says, what do Jeremiah, you must still continue. You must still go forward. Even though it seems that everything is against you. And I, Jeremiah, I am going to be with you. If thou take forth the precious from the vile, thou shalt be as my mouth. Those false prophets were charged by the Lord of sewing pillows under the armholes of the people. Thus they were not honest with the souls of the children of Israel. They were not honest with God's people. And they were not honest with the wicked. What does the Lord say? He says, with lies, ye have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. Thus they deceived the people concerning their state. The wicked, well, they made them rest. They said, peace, peace. And when there was no peace, they made them rest in that state of separation in which they were dwelling even in their outward form and custom in the services of the Lord, but they were separated in their hearts from the Lord.
And then the Lord has commanded his own servants to teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Thus God's servants, they were not allowed to permit the children of Israel to rest because that they were included in that outward administration of that covenant of grace, because they were part of that nation of Israel. No, we read that because of that sin of that people, that the prophet Hosea is to call his son by the name of Laomai. Why? Because the Lord says, "For ye are not my people, and I will not be your God." And yet he says that the number of the children of Israel, they shall be as the sand of the sea. They cannot be numbered for multitude. And that it would come to pass in that place where it was said unto them that ye are not my people, then it shall be said unto them, ye are the children of the living God. Thus the Lord has commanded his prophets already in the Old Testament to make a separation, to make a distinction in the midst of his people. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with them. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with them. We read of the prophet Malachi that he prophesied concerning the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, that great prophet that was then future, that would be coming into this world. And what did he say of him? He said of that great prophet, the greatest of all prophets, that it would be the same also with him, that when he came into the world, that he was going to judge a righteous judgment. That the greatest of all prophets, that he was going to distinguish between the righteous and the wicked. The Jews did not expect this. Yes, because of the prophets, the Jews were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. But they did not listen to who that Messiah would be, because in the prophecy of Malachi, then we read, he says, "But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver." He says later, "And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers, and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts." Thus already in the prophecy of the coming of Christ, and then it was foretold what that mediator would be, how that he would come and he would do just judgment amongst his people. How was that when the Lord Jesus came into the world? Then it is so clear that he was the fulfillment of that word of prophecy. Then it is so clear
that the Lord Jesus has taken forth the precious from the vile. Then the preaching of the Lord Jesus, that was a distinguishing preaching. He has defended the poor. He has come on the side of the fatherless and the widows, of the afflicted, of the needy. This day, that scripture that is fulfilled in your ears, why anointed to preach the gospel unto the poor, that the brokenhearted, they may be healed, that the blind may receive their sight, that the bruised may receive their liberty. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But woe unto the hypocrites. Woe to you, Pharisees and scribes. And then he said, why? It was not unclear when he has made known to the Jews that they should not glory in the fact that they were the children of Abraham, because God is able, even of these stones, he says, to raise up children unto Abraham. Paul says, therefore, they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither are they, because they are the seed of Abraham, all children. But in Isaac, shall thy seed be called, if thou take forth the precious from the vile. So the Lord Jesus did. In his parables, in his teachings, you do not find a subject that comes out more often in the teachings of the Lord Jesus in his parables than the distinguishing between the truth of God's work and that which is falsehood. That he has always, time and again, been striking at that presumption, at that hypocrisy, at that self-confidence of that natural man. So we read it when he is distinguishing between the Pharisee and the publican. He says there is a prodigal, and that prodigal also has an older brother. That there is a narrow way, but there is also a wide way, a broad way. That there is good ground for that seed to fall in, yes. But that there are also other grounds, thorny grounds, stony grounds. There is hard earth, wayside. Where do you find that subject more often than in the preaching of Christ himself? He says there are wise virgins, yes, but that there are also foolish virgins. And that there is wheat, yes, but that there is also tares. He says the last shall be first, and the first, they are going to be last. There are those that are at the wedding, yes, but they are at that wedding without a wedding garment. If thou wilt take forth the precious from the vile. So that was in the days of Christ himself. And that necessity in the days of Christ, that is the same as in the time that followed him. And thus, we speak in our second thought about the days of the Reformation. As soon as the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory springs. Who was that, young people? You learned that in school. You said it was Tetzel. Yes, that was that Dominican monk. What a vile doctrine. What a deception of multitudes and multitudes of people. Purgatory. That is an invention of the devil himself. And it does not appear anywhere in that word of truth in which that a church in those days was claiming to uphold. But in addition, Rome taught, as we can read in God's word, that Simon had in his thoughts, what was that? That he said that he thought that the kingdom of God could be purchased with money. How many millions and millions of dollars have now come into the coffers of that Roman Catholic Church on account of that vile doctrine of indulgences? And now what a struggle that was in the days of the Reformation for the reformers to wage a war against such a wickedness. What a struggle now for them who may see and may know in themselves and what that truth is in distinction from that error. But now to bring that over unto the people, especially when and that error was so rampant and so received and accepted within that church. But now it lay on the reformers as not only a duty, but it lay upon their hearts in compassion for the multitudes of deceived people that they should take forth the precious truth from all that vile truth, that vile untruth, and that was taught by that Roman Catholic Church. And the Lord has strengthened them in that way to give them the wisdom. No, we don't say perfection, because they had also their errors, but we must see each of these men in the time that the Lord has given them to live and the doctrines for which they may stand was in the 1600s, in the early 1700s, however, that there was another Reformation in the Netherlands, which is called by us the Second Reformation. Why was it necessary then that there should be another Reformation after that original Reformation? Well, we know that after the Reformation, then the Roman Catholic Church in the Netherlands was largely replaced by the Reformed Church, in which was then that state church. And then in that time, the membership of the church has grown very rapidly, not all with good consequences for that church, for the spiritual life that was there. Because congregation, we are not reformed. just because we are anti-Roman Catholic doctrine. That does not make us Reformed. Many people joined the Reformed Church, but they had wrong motives for joining. And they still wanted to live a life that was according to this world, a loose life. Not only so, but the universities that were training the students to preach, the theological students, these universities were governed by the secular government. Thus, the spirit of rationalism that has increased tremendously in those days. And now that second Reformation was actually nothing more than a reaction to all this. That was similar to the first Reformation when it was reacting to the false doctrines of the Roman Catholic Church. How was that then? Had the church then, so soon after the Reformation, slid away once again into false doctrine? Well, not in its standards, not in the basis that was published, the doctrines that were published. But it could well be heard, it could well be tasted in the preaching at times and in the speaking of the people. And in a very subtle way, that truth that was established by our forefathers was being attacked. So that the application of that truth that was often in a way of error, and not only so, but also the life, because it cannot even remain with a doctrine that is true, but that doctrine must be learned in our heart and it must be practiced within our life. Thus what happened? Well, that work of taking forth the precious from the vile, that became so absolutely necessary in a very special way in that time. And thus, there were those of God's servants who have taken this work so very, very seriously. And then we can hear how that preaching in that time that became so very discriminating, that God's servants, they were warning especially that man would not go forward in the deceiving of his own soul. That personal spiritual life, the marks of grace, and they were emphasized. Then it was shown, then it was explained how that the fruits, they must become evident in the life of a person. Oh, that natural inability of man, the sovereign work of God, that divine predestination and grace that was emphasized, that experiential life that was laid out from the pulpits, that we need to have more than that which a man can learn within his mind, that we need to be taught by the Holy Spirit. And so that way of self-examination that was emphasized, brought to the foreground, stressed. And now was this preaching that has had such a large impact upon the preaching and that we find in our own denomination today. But let us first sing from Psalter 382, stanzas 1 through 5. Lord, Thou hast searched me and dost know. Where'er I rest, where'er I go, Thou knowest all that I have planned, and all my ways are in Thy hand. 1 through 5 of Psalter 382.
Thank you.
If thou wilt take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. There was, congregation, the command of the Lord to his servant Jeremiah. It was the command of the Lord to the prophets in the Old Testament. It was the work, it was the way of the greatest prophet himself. It was the way of the leaders of the great Reformation. And also of the Second Reformation. And that was now also the work of our forefathers. In the beginning of our own denomination. That is why. And that the church is under the cross and the Laodicean congregations. They could come together. That is why. Because there was a oneness that was felt in the way that the Word of God was brought. Thus, Reverend Kirsten and Reverend Beversluis, they have attempted to bring together those things which they may truly believe belong together. And which they believed from their heart was not the work of man, but was according unto that holy word of God. The preaching of our forefathers from the very beginning of the denomination that has been largely influenced by these men of the Second Reformation. Men like Alexander Comrie and Theodorus van der Groo, they have written extensively about the characteristics of that true saving faith. Then there has been distinctions as they have laid out the way that the Lord is leading his people in this life. That they have brought out what the exercises of the true people of the Lord is in that true saving faith. Then they have warned so seriously against that spirit of the Enlightenment, and where that rational mind that has been brought so much into the foreground. And they have warned so seriously against that work of the triune God being pushed into the background. And that great work of that taking forth of the precious from the vial was taken so seriously. Why? That man would not deceive himself as he is traveling to that great eternity. What does the Lord command his servants? That they, when they see the danger coming, that they shall blow upon the trumpet, so that men would deal with their fellow man in an honest way, so that every man may know for himself what his own personal state is before God. And that is why that experimental knowledge of that misery, deliverance, gratitude that was brought and that needs to be brought into that foreground. No, that was not a new doctrine. That was not invented by men. And we have been trying to speak, of course, beginning about that article of the late Reverend Verghunst. And we said at that time it was not his intention to prove this from the Word of God. And therefore, in this evening, we have attempted to show to you and that it is not just the way that was
sought out by these men, no. But that it is based upon the holy word of God. That it is found also in our forms of unity. In that Heidelberg Catechism in a special way. Or is so necessary continually to lay out the experience of God's people according to that word of God. Congregation, how is it with us? That is our task, to lay ourselves next to it as that word may be preached. Because there is only one way. It is the way of free and sovereign grace experienced in the soul by a wretched and a miserable, sinful creature. That means that man must be brought to his end. God saves man in his extremity. Read it when you come home in Psalm 107. Oh, that is a way of learning our own wretchedness. That is the way of the Holy Spirit revealing His mercy and grace in such a soul. That is the way of the revelation of the mystery of that grace of God. The love of God to sinful creatures. In that work of His only begotten Son. Oh, there is one way. That is the way of that thief upon the cross. We indeed justly. We receive the due reward of our deeds. We deserve to go lost. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Lord, remember me. Today shall thou be with me in paradise. That is the way. It is the way that John says, he must increase and I must decrease. That is the way that the poor may have hope. That is the way that the meek shall eat and they shall be satisfied. That is the way that is opposed to the way of that rich young ruler, which we see so much in the day in which we live. All these things have I kept from my youth up. It is the way that is coming against the slighting of the knowledge, the experimental knowledge of our misery. And the use of the law as the means of coming to such a necessary knowledge. It is running opposed to that way of accepting, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ with a reasoned out faith. It is opposed to that way, and that is rejecting the necessity of the revelation of Christ in a personal way to the soul of every man in this world. Does that mean? Does it mean then that our fathers, that they have laid the personal experience of God's people as a foundation? No. Not at all. There is but one foundation that is found in God alone. And there is but one name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. That is the name of the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. But that mediator must be revealed and experienced in our own heart. And if we lack this, then even with all our knowledge, then we shall go lost. If thou wilt take forth the precious from the vile, that is necessary in our days, the same that it was necessary in those days. And congregation, we know that there are cries. There are forces, even within the churches, that are fighting against this way. Why? That is so natural. Because our natural heart does not seek to be broken down in its false religion. And our natural heart does not seek to be uncovered. But we need to be honest. Why? Because we are traveling together. And we will have to meet together, you and I. When we will have to stand together at that judgment seat of God. And this is now also what our fathers have seen. And this is now the doctrine which they held so dear unto their own hearts. This is what they have seen was so necessary for the instruction of the people. And we plead with you to stay with that doctrine. Oh, read that article and reread that article and know for yourself, even if it is but in your mind, what that true and that blessed doctrine is. And let us live and let us die by that truth that may be found in that holy word of God. That is a truth, congregation, that has been blessed in the days of our fathers. The Lord has promised it. If thou wilt take forth the precious from the vial, then the Lord has promised. He said to Jeremiah, then thou shalt be as my mouth. And to Jeremiah, as to every one of his servants in this world. And when the Lord is speaking, then his word is not going to return unto him void. And we cannot deny, though the times were dark, that in the days of our forefathers, that the Lord has given also great blessings upon that preaching, that taking forth of that precious from the vial. All God's people were converted. They were edified. They were fed by such a preaching. And our congregation, what must we say of it? Oh, in the first place, we ask you to bow your knees. And we ask you to beseech the Lord for us, that we may also receive the wisdom, that we may receive the grace to preach that blessed doctrine. But in the second place, that you may also experience that doctrine, oh, could we be, by the goodness of the Lord, a little instrument in his hand, that you may also be recipients of that blessed knowledge. No, they are not all Israel that are of Israel. And therefore we must take forth a precious from the vial. Therefore we are called to rightly divide that word of truth. And who is sufficient for these things? But congregation, where does it leave us? Because that is not only the work of God's servants. No, that is the work of each and every one also to whom that word comes, that has respect to how God's word is brought, but that also has respect to how that word of God is received. What does John say? Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. That was the work of the Bereans. To go from that place of the preaching and to search themselves that holy scriptures. And when you may find it to be the truth, then what a confirmation that will be for you of that holy word of God. And not only so, but especially that we may be given to lay our own life next to that preaching. Thus, the precious and the vile. Are we one of the precious? Or are we one of the vile? And now, if we are yet one of the vile, oh, then it is still possible that we become one of those precious. Therefore, congregation, the necessity of that honesty with our own soul. Better to know today that we are still vile than to find it out when we stand before that judgment seat of God. Seek then to be engrafted into that living vine that goes through a way of repentance, that goes through a way of a true confession. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins on the basis of that blessed mediatorial work of His only begotten Son. Oh, seek to know it as it may be known before that we have to stand before His judgment seat. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we can but stammer a few words. O bless Thy word. Lord, we need that grace. We need that wisdom to take forth the precious from the vile. It needs to be given to us continually. And then each and every one of us, whether we are office bearers or not, oh, then we stand on that one side or on the other side. And our hearts are so deceitful. Lord, wilt Thou give Thy Holy Spirit in the day that we live also, that it may discern for us, and that we might learn to seek Thee, and that we may come to find Thee, while it is still possible. Wilt Thou bring us safely to our homes, each and every one of us? Forgive all the sins of this night in preaching and in listening. Crown Thy word with Thy blessing, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 198, stanzas 1, 2, 5, and 7. O God, be Thy anointed Son with truth and righteousness endowed, that justice may on earth be done, the meek protected from the proud. 1, 2, 5, and 7 of Psalter 198.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.